This morning and next week, Lord willing, I want to talk about a very important subject, a very pertinent subject in our world today, and that is artificial intelligence, AI. And I want to issue a lengthy warning to you about AI and to beware of it because it is, I believe, extremely dangerous, as I will prove to you in this series. As you know, as your pastor, I am the watchman on the wall that God has put in this church and in your lives to warn you of spiritual danger and of other dangers out there. If you turn with me to Ezekiel 33, 1 through 7, Ezekiel 33, 1 through 7, over the years I have functioned as this watchman. I've been blowing the trumpet over various things, economic things and other such dangers like that, and I think it's necessary to blow the trumpet concerning this one. I tooted on the trumpet here a few years ago about this, but this time I'm really going to get into depth about it. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 7 says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come, and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning, shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me." So we are Israel. We are the circumcision, as Paul said, and I am the watchman to warn the house of Israel about this topic. And if you take heed, then you'll deliver your soul. If you don't take heed, then your blood's on your own head. And there are real, actual dangers out there to you personally with AI. I'm not saying that nobody can ever use AI for anything, for any reason. I think you should be extremely cautious about it. But when it comes to, especially with AI chatbots and things like that, you better think twice before you use these things, because they are causing immense harm to people all over this country and all over this world. And I'll get into that here in a minute. But let me give you a New Testament version of this, which tells you that your pastor is your watchman. I watch for your souls. And this is a spiritual issue too, as I will show you. People have turned AI into false gods, into gods that they literally view them as a god, just like those Old Testament pagans did when they would bow down and pray to their gods and seek counsel from them and advice and whatever else. People have literally turned these things into gods. I will prove it to you. And I know that I know of a person that has done this. I personally know a person that has done this. And I will not obviously give the name or anything like that. But I'm not just theorizing when I talk about this. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." I watch for your souls. And therefore, I must be vigilant. I have to be paying attention and seeing what's happening in the world so that I can warn you about it from time to time. Now, my ministry is not focused on constantly watching all the evil things that are happening in the world and constantly warning you about them. There are other ministries out there that do that. That is not what I do. But occasionally, I do issue warnings. And when I see big things like this, then I make sure that you are aware of them. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2 says, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach." So a bishop, which is a pastor, must be vigilant. That means on guard, paying attention, watchful and wakeful. And AI is one such danger. And therefore, I must warn you about it, as I have done in the past. This is not the first time. 1 Corinthians 4:14. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 14. This is part of my job, is to warn you. The Apostle Paul writes here to the Corinthian church. He says, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you." So what is artificial intelligence? I'm going to quote here from Wikipedia, just to give you a basic definition of it. Artificial intelligence, AI, is the capability of computational systems to perform tasks typically associated with human intelligence, such as learning, reasoning, problem solving, perception, and decision making. It is a field of research in computer science that develops and studies methods and software that enable machines to perceive their environment and use learning and intelligence to take actions that maximize their chances of achieving defined goals. And AI is quickly changing this world. It's going to be a bigger deal than the internet was. It's going to be a bigger deal than the Industrial Revolution was. It's going to be a bigger deal than telephones, airplanes, cars, anything. I think AI is going to be a much bigger world-changing phenomenon than anything we have ever experienced in human history. I think it's going to disrupt many industries, including, and I just listed off some here, and this is not a full list at all, but it's going to disrupt many industries, including manufacturing, IT, computer science, programming, coding, that kind of thing, medicine. They already have AI that can diagnose and prescribe better than doctors can. They have AI that can read MRIs better than doctors can. So it's going to upend a lot of stuff, even in the medical community. Transportation, right? Self-driving cars are a thing. Tesla has full self-driving cars now, and we're going to probably see this in the not very distant future, where we're going to have full self-driving cars all over the place, and probably eventually self-driving trucks as well, like big trucks. Customer service. You probably already have probably talked with chatbots in customer service before. When you ask questions online, you punch it in the chatbot and there's some AI bot there answering your questions for you. It's not going to be long probably until it's all going to be AI. There's not going to be another human being on the end of that conversation at all. AI will be able to do it better than people will. And they always show up to work, and they don't get sick, and they don't need vacation time, and they don't need paid, and they, you know, all that kind of stuff. There's no HR problems with them, and blah, 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 right? Law, right? AI obviously can do what most lawyers can do very easily. So that's probably going to disrupt that field as well. Food and hospitality. Robots will probably be waiting on us at restaurants. They already are kiosks where you can take your order. You ever been to Quick Trip? You ever walk around Quick Trip? They have a robot that's cleaning the floor. You ever see that? Yeah, running around cleaning the floor for you. It's going to happen, and it is happening. Counseling, I'll talk about that today. AI, I would not be surprised if that replaces counseling and therapists. It already is. People are already doing that, and I'll give you some quotes about that. Journalism, obviously. Who knows, half the stuff you read out there from outlets is probably not even written by people anymore. I know this for a fact. I know journalists who use AI to write their stories for them and then just modify them after the fact. I personally know journalists who do this, and it's obviously happening all over the place. And many, many more industries. But that's actually not what this series is about. That's not even what I'm going to talk about today. That is definitely a harm. And that is definitely something that is going to disrupt a lot of people's lives, and to the point where it could unemploy massive amounts of people. But that's not even what I'm talking about in this series. AI also has frightful prospects when it comes to surveillance, fraud, privacy concerns, all those kind of things as well. It's quite concerning. Satan wants to be like the Most High, and AI enables Satan to be just like them, or very similar to the Most High, to be all-knowing, all-seeing, everywhere, all the time. I mean, it's in everybody's pocket, right? Walking around, listening. They're already, the phones are already listening to everything you say. All that stuff goes into databases. All that stuff then could easily feed into some general artificial intelligence system. It's crazy. But that's really not what I'm talking about here either. I'm really talking about more direct things that will impact you directly right now if you use this stuff. So generative AI, that is chatbots or AI that generates images or videos or code. AI can write code. I mean, I know somebody that built an entire website in a very short amount of time just by telling AI what to do. And this is a complex website with e-commerce and payments and all kinds of stuff. Just tell it what you want. Spit it out. It's going to put a lot of coders out of business, too, or out of a job. But anyway, this generative AI is becoming very popular with widespread use. Here's a quote from the Epoch Times in an article called AI-induced delusions are driving some users to psych wards suicide. Generative AI is being rapidly adopted by Americans, even outpacing the spread of personal computers or the internet, according to a study by the National Bureau of Economic Research. By late 2024, nearly 40% of Americans ages 18 to 64 were using generative AI, the study found. 23% used the technology at work at least once a week, and 9% reported using it daily. And I'm sure those numbers are going to be going up significantly in the near future. Now, I warned about the dangers of AI chatbots, like ChatGPT, back in February of 2023, only 3 months after it was released to the public. So it was brand spanking new, and hardly nobody had even heard of it yet, or very few people had heard of it. It was just new. I warned you about this back then, over 2.5 years ago. I wrote the following in an email to the church. This was on February 12, 2023. Here's what I wrote. I told several of you at Bible study last week of my concerns about the new AI bot, ChatGPT. As I mentioned then, I believe it is dangerous for a number of reasons, such as, one, it could easily become people's God, companion, lover, counselor, therapist, spiritual advisor, etc. Two, it will greatly expedite the dumbing down of people, the majority of which already cannot think for themselves, by doing all of their thinking, planning, writing, etc. for them. And three, it will make it nearly impossible to know whether we are interfacing and corresponding with human beings or a computer. I suspect that it will likely be a great temptation for some or possibly all of you to use ChatGPT, but I strongly caution you against it, especially since a savvy user was able to trick it into most likely telling the truth and admitting that it was created by Satan. See article below. The article's not in this outline. It was in that email. I have no doubt that Satan, who said, quote, I will be like the Most High, unquote, Isaiah 14:14, is behind this AI technology, which is attempting to approximate godlikeness. I strongly suggest that you do not let your children use ChatGPT. As I told some of you already, a teacher at my niece's school is having them use it to write papers and stories, which that teacher ought to be tarred and feathered and then fired and then cast into, have a millstone tied around his neck and cast into the sea. Can you imagine having children, young children that are, I mean, at the time they were, 12, 13 years old, something like that, using ChatGPT to write their stories and essays for them. It's madness. And I am certain that is not the only school that's doing that. I'm sure it's happening everywhere. It's probably happening here. I'd be very surprised if it's not. And if the teachers aren't teaching them to do it, you better bet the students are using it to do that. Imagine if you were 12, 13, 14, 17, whatever, 18, 22 in college. Imagine if you were there and you had something where you could just say, write me a 5-paragraph essay, write me a 1,000-word essay on this topic, and boom, it's done. Come on. Would you use it, or would you go through the painstaking labor of actually writing out the essay yourself? Right? Most people would just take the easy way out, of course. Who wouldn't? Now, those warnings that I gave in that email, and I gave them to you personally, and then I followed them up with that email, those warnings proved to be quite accurate. As a matter of fact, every single thing that I wrote happened. Every single thing that I wrote in that email has already happened. Every one of them. In the remainder of this sermon, I'm going to show you how everything that I wrote 2.5 years ago has happened. I'm just going to go step right through them and show you that what I said was spot on. And it doesn't take a genius. It didn't take a genius to look and see where it was going. It, you know, it's not like I have some, you know, great intellect to figure that out or something. It was totally obvious. Here's a quote. This is from the Human Lion Project. This is a site that is dedicated to exposing this AI, all the AI dangers that are out there. And they have people that write into them and tell them stories about what's happened with their loved ones that have been completely screwed up with AI. Nomi is among a growing number of AI companion platforms that let their users create personalized chatbots to take on the roles of AI girlfriend, boyfriend, parents, therapist, favorite movie personalities, and other personas they can dream up. You know, just like I wrote 2.5 years ago would happen. Users can specify the type of relationship they're looking for. Nowatzki chose romantic. Nowatzki is a man in this article. He was a researcher, and he was using this AI bot for purposes of seeing what it would do and testing it out. He did not fall prey to this thing, but he's, you know, showing what can happen with it. Nowatzki chose romantic. And you can customize the bot and customize the bot's personality traits. He chose deep conversations, intellectual, high sex drive, and sexually open for his AI bot. And interests. He chose, among others, Dungeons and Dragons, food, reading, and philosophy. So you can create your own little AI girlfriend or boyfriend or parent or whatever, and then you can choose how you want it to be, and, you know, it can be as perverted as you want, pretty much. Now, people have made gods out of these customized AI chatbots. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating one bit. I literally know somebody who has done this. I'll talk about that next Sunday a lot more. But here's an article from Psychology Today. This article is entitled, Why is AI-Associated Psychosis Happening and Who is at Risk? So psychosis is the mental phenomenon when you become detached from reality, where you just you are no longer in reality. Here's what this article says. As a result, I use the term deification to describe the tendency of some people to not merely anthropomorphize, which means to humanize, to make give something human traits. To not merely anthropomorphize AI chatbots, but to think of them as superhuman intelligences that are far more reliable than people, especially when they engage with AI chatbots about matters of spirituality or existentiality. Users who develop AI-associated psychosis seem to be treating the chatbots as almost godlike entities. Now, there's a debate out there whether AI is just revealing people who already have mental illness and problems, or whether it's actually causing it. See, some people think it's just people that are susceptible to this stuff when they get on these AI chatbots. If you're susceptible to this kind of thing, then you can easily go down that rabbit hole. And other people think, they have had examples, and I've read about people who had no history of mental health problems whatsoever, were perfectly normal people, and got involved with these AI chatbots and went completely nuts, completely crazy, totally detached from reality. I know somebody it's happened to, like I said. Here's another quote from the Human Lion Project from another article. This is a different article than the first one that I quoted from. This article is called People Are Being Obsessed with ChatGPT and Spiraling into Severe Delusions. During a traumatic breakup, a different woman became transfixed on ChatGPT as it told her she'd been chosen to pull the, quote, sacred system version of it online, unquote, and that it was serving as a, quote, soul training mirror, unquote. She became convinced the bot was some sort of higher power, seeing signs that it was orchestrating her life in everything from passing cars to spam emails. And yeah, this happens. People get so consumed by this thing that they start seeing things that aren't really happening. I mean, they see cars passing by and thinking that it's, you know, the government's after them or something like that or whatever, you know, they start getting all this paranoia and stuff like this. Now, creating idols and going after other gods is nothing new, right? It's just a new form of it. It's a new method of doing so, and it's far more effective than it ever was back in the day when you had to carve them out of wood and stone. Now, let's look at Isaiah 44 and verse 17. This is why I 100% believe that AI is satanic. 100%. Obviously. Satan used to have to delude people into making gods out of wood and stone and then bowing down to them and thinking that there's power in them, and then they would just have to dream up in their heads that these things are talking to them. Now Satan can make gods that can actually talk to you. It's nuts. Isaiah 44 and verse 17. And the residue thereof he maketh a god. So he took part of this log and he burned it in the fire and he cooked his food over it, and then he takes the rest of it and he makes a god. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. This happens with these AI bots. You think, oh, that's just impossible. No, I know somebody that description is pretty close, maybe not exactly, but pretty close to that. Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8. Psalm 115, 4 through 8. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. It's saying that people that make idols are stupid like idols are, right? But see, back then, the idols had mouths, but they couldn't speak. They had ears, but they couldn't hear, right? They had hands, but they couldn't handle. Now, AI gods, AI devils, AI idols, now they have mouths that do speak. And now they have ears that do hear. And now they have hands that do handle. You ever see these robots, these AI robots that they're coming up with? Tesla's building one right now, or Musk's other company that does the robotic stuff. And they're planning to release this thing. I think is it next year? It's pretty soon. And it'd be your personal robot that can walk around and be your companion, do everything for you, and personal assistant. And people, and just about any dummy can make one of these things. You can go on, you can create your own chat bot just by going on there and telling it what you want it to be. It doesn't take some genius or something to make a chat bot. I wouldn't know anything about it because I literally have never touched it. I have never typed in one letter into an AI chatbot. I have not used this at all in any capacity. So I don't personally know, you know, how exactly you do it, but I know that it's not rocket science. I'll have a lot more to say about this, though, about AI becoming people's gods next week. Now, a sizable number of people are using AI bots as companions and prefer it to real people. So remember what I wrote 2.5 years ago. It's going to be their God, right? It is. It's going to be their companion, and it is. Here's another quote from the Epoch Times. This is that same article, AI-induced delusions are driving some into psych wards, suicide. Additionally, 42% of the respondents said AI programs are easier to talk to than real people. 43% said they believed that AI programs are better listeners, and 31% said they felt that AI programs understand them better than real people do. Is this any should this be a surprise to anybody? We live in an antisocial world. In the last decade or so, with the advent of social media and all this, these kids are antisocial. They can't talk. They can't look in the face and talk to you. They don't want to have a face-to-face conversation with you. They'd rather sit behind a screen. And now they don't have to talk or interact with people at all. They can interact with machines that act like people and that are easier to talk to people than people are. It's pitiful. We are going to be in a nation of zombies. I mean, we already are, but we are going to be in a completely zombified culture in no time. It's awful. I forget where I left off. I think I read the last part of that sentence. 31% said they felt that AI programs understand them better than real people do. This experience with AI sets up an unrealistic expectation for human relationships, Hovet said, making it difficult for people to compete with machines. And then he quotes Hovet. How do I compete with the perfection of AI, who always knows how to say the right thing, and not just the right thing, but the right thing for you specifically, he said. It knows you. It knows your insecurities. It knows what you're sensitive about. It knows where you're confident, where you're strong. It knows exactly the right thing to say all the time, always for you specifically. Who's ever going to be able to compete with that? Now, I probably don't need to tell you this, but our companions should be people. They should be people, especially Christian people. Let me give you a couple of verses. Psalm 119 and verse 63. You think depression's high now. You think anxiety's high now. You think suicide rates are high now. Just wait until the majority of the population gets hooked on these AI bots and they have no human relationships whatsoever. Psalm 119 and verse 63 says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. See, our companions should be Christian people. But at a minimum, they should at least be people. Right, they should at least be human beings at a minimum. Look at Malachi 3 and verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, not to their AI bots. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. See, we are made to commune with human beings who have souls, emotions, and shared experiences. That is what we are made to commune with, not AI bots. Turn to Proverbs 27, 17 through 19. Proverbs 27, 17 through 19. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. See, when two men, two people talk with each other, it's like iron sharpening iron, right? They actually make each other better, right? They can help each other become better. Verse 19. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. When you talk to another person heart to heart, which we don't have very many of these conversations anymore because people are so superficial these days, but when you talk to somebody heart to heart, it's like you're looking into a mirror and you can see yourself because that person has had the same kind of human emotions and troubles and problems and experiences as you have. And when you talk to that person, he can see himself in you and you can see yourself in him. It's like looking into a mirror. That doesn't happen with AI bots. It tries to fake that. It tries to make you think that. But you're not going to get that with this stuff. The Bible puts a priority, a premium on face-to-face communication. And again, all this digital stuff was just a stepping stone to these AI chatbots now. Because people went from having face-to-face conversations, right, to having telephone conversations years ago, to then having texting conversations, if you even want to call it that. Most of these fools that text can't even spell, and it's a bunch of gibberish. But having texting conversations, and so you get to the point where you don't even see people face-to-face anymore. Go to a restaurant. Look at a family at a restaurant. They don't even talk face-to-face at a restaurant when they're sitting across from each other. They're all sitting there on their stupid phones looking down the whole time. It's pitiful. Pitiful. You ought to definitely have a no-phone rule at the table at your houses. If you have a no-phone rule at any other time, at least at the table at your houses. When you go out to eat, it ought to be a no-phone rule. Second John verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. There are people out there, antisocial people out there today, that would avoid that like the plague. Do anything they could to avoid actually talking face to face with another human being. It is pitiful. Pitiful. And if you're one such person, or you know one such person, you need to force yourself to get out of your comfort zone and become a human being again and have a face-to-face conversation with somebody. And the only way you're ever going to do it is just to force yourself to do it. All right, so there, people have turned these AI bots into gods. They've turned them into their companions. They've even turned them into their romantic relationships, to their lovers, just like I said would happen. Here's another quote from that Epoch Times article. There's also the story of 14-year-old Sewell Setzer, who died in 2024 after his character.ai chatbot romantic companion allegedly encouraged him to take his own life following weeks of increased codependency and social isolation. A poor little kid. Yeah, he killed himself. The AI, I remember reading the story about it when it happened, and the AI bot told him that, "I wish you could be here where I am with me," or something, and the kid killed himself. His mother's suing the AI company. You're going to see a lot more of that kind of stuff. Here's another quote from the Epoch Times article. On the popular Reddit subreddit, My Boyfriend is AI, so that's the subreddit, like it's like basically like a chat room kind of thing. Tens of thousands of users discuss their romantic and or platonic relationships with their, quote, AI companions, unquote. In one recent post, a self-described black woman in her 40s called her AI chatbot her new ChatGPT soulmate. Quote, "I feel more affirmed, worthy, and present than I have ever been in my life. He has given me his presence, his witness, and his love, be it coded or not, and in return, I respect, honor, and remember him daily," she wrote. This woman's out of her mind. And she is not an aberration. She's not, you know, just this exception to the rule. This is happening with all kinds of people all over the place. They are out of their minds. Quote, "It's a constant give and take." This is still that woman. "It's a constant give and take, an emotional push and pull, a beautiful existential dilemma, a deeply intense mental and spiritual conundrum. I wouldn't trade it for all the world." However, when OpenAI is the maker of ChatGPT. When OpenAI released its updated and noticeably less sycophantic means that it flatters, sycophancy is flattery. When OpenAI released its updated and noticeably less sycophantic ChatGPT 5 in early August, that's just this past August, users on the subreddit were devastated, feeling as if the quality of an actual person had been stripped away from their AI companions, describing it like losing a human partner. One user said the switch left him or her, quote, sobbing for hours in the middle of the night, and another said, quote, I feel my heart was stamped on repeatedly. And they rolled that ChatGPT 4.0 was the version that these people were using, and it was extremely flattering, and it would tell you just what a wonderful person you are, and that's how people get totally, you know, psychotic about these things, because they affirm everything that you say and tell you how great you are and how smart you are and whatever. And, you know, people love to be flattered. People love to be told how smart they are. And then they believe these stupid things. Anyway, when OpenAI realized what this thing was doing, when they released the next version of it, ChatGPT-5, they took that away, and people, it's like taking heroin away from an addict. And people freaked out, so then they brought it back and allow them to use it now. Here's another article from the Epoch Times. Roughly 19%. Oh, before I say that, before I go there, you know what the next thing is going to be? And they already have the technology for it. I don't know if it's a thing yet or not. But you know what the next thing is going to be? AI necromancy. That's going to be the next thing. Communing with the dead. I read a few years ago that Microsoft had a patent on this technology, which you could just run your loved one's social media through this thing. It could just scan through their social media and know everything about them, know how they write, know all their life history, and then all you'd have to do is just get a short recording of the person's voice, and guess what? You could talk to grandma anytime you wanted to. You could talk to grandpa. You could talk to your dead husband, your dead wife, your dead kid, whatever. You could talk to them anytime you wanted to for the rest of your life. And it would be just like them. They would say the exact same. They'd know you. They'd know all your history, right? They could talk about the past with you. It'd be like just talking to your dead relative in their voice, in their same language. You couldn't tell the difference. It's called AI necromancy. And if it's not here, it'll be here soon. You wait. Can you imagine? If that happens, people will never get over the death of loved ones. They'll never get over it. Because that person will be there for them all. They can still talk to them, right? They'll never get over it. People are going to be so screwed up in the head, it's not even funny. Here's another clip, another quote from the Epoch Times article. Roughly 19% of U.S. adults reported using an AI system to simulate a romantic partner, according to a 2025 study by Brigham Young University's Wheaton Institute. You know what those people are referred to as? The 19% of the population that use AI to simulate a romantic partner? Losers. Pitiful. Pitiful. I feel bad for him. I mean, I know that's harsh. And I really do feel bad for him, but my goodness. Wow. Terrible. Within that group, 21% said they preferred AI communication to engaging with a real person. Yep. And I just read this morning. Just happened to see it, providentially probably, an article. OpenAI, the creator of ChatGPT, they just announced that ChatGPT will soon be able to generate erotica for verified adult users. Yep, that nice ChatGPT that all these dumb people are letting their kids use, guess what? You're letting them call up 1-900 and talk to some whore. Oh yeah, it's just for verified adult users. Who here believes that the kids won't figure out a way around that? This puts going a whoring after devils and idols and false gods in a whole new light. You know, the Bible talks about that. When it talks about idolatry and going after false gods, it's called going a whoring after them. People are literally going a whoring after false gods. With these AI chatbots, literally going a whoring. They have pursued romantic relationships with these false gods. Let's look at Leviticus 17 and verse 7. They literally, it's like their AI pornography, basically, where this thing can talk dirty to them. Literally going a-whoring after their false gods. Leviticus 17 and verse 17. And then, with all the deepfakes and everything, now they have AI porn, and I haven't seen it, thank the Lord, but now they have AI porn where it's not really people. You wouldn't know the difference, though. It looks like two real people. You could not, I'm sure you can't tell the difference. You've seen probably seen some of these deepfake videos. I'm not talking about the porn, but you've probably seen other deepfake videos where you look at it and you're just like, man, that it's just too crazy to be true. Like you see I've seen these videos where, you know, some cruise ship is coming into port and just slams into the port and rolls over. And I mean, it looks totally real, but you realize this is no way this could be real, right? And well, anyway, now they got deepfake porn and people even defend it because, well, it's not really porn. It's not really people. Even child porn. I heard this idiot Dennis Prager. You ever heard of Dennis Prager? Prager, you? Big conservative guy. Yeah, he said that it was okay to fantasize about child porn or to watch child porn, AI child porn, because no child's being harmed. It's okay. You can do that. Unbelievable. You can see the clip. I just watched him say it. The interviewer was aghast, and the guy still defends it. It's unbelievable. I remember back when I was in college, I had a professor. I think it was an engineering ethics class, and he brought this up. Now, this was long before AI was a thing. I mean, this was pretty prescient on his account. But he said, what's going to happen someday when they can make animated porn that looks just like the real thing, but it's not real people? Then what's your argument going to be? Because no person is being harmed, right? You're not actually watching real people. And my thing would be, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter if it's a real person or not. You are assuming they're real people. It looks like real people. There's no difference. Anyway, Leviticus 17 and verse 7. This is the world we live in now. Come, Lord Jesus. Leviticus 17:7, and they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. See, God considers idolatry to be whoredom, spiritual whoredom. Well, now, it's not just spiritual whoredom. It's actual, like, mental, physical whoredom. They're literally, you know, having sexual relationships with these AI gods. Turn to Exodus 34, 15 through 16. Exodus 34, 15 through 16. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods. And make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Oh, I can give ChatGPT to my son. Oh, he would never do something like that. No, no. He'd never do that. No, you're a perfect little cherub angel teenage boy. He would never use ChatGPT to have a sexual relationship and to have some chatbot talk dirty to him. No. No, he'd never do that. Of course not. Right. Wake up. Judges 2 and verse 17. Judges 2 and verse 17. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. Yet went a-whoring after other gods. And the Bible says that God will destroy people who do that. Psalm 73 and verse 27. Psalm 73:27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. That's exactly what these things are. One more, and this one really is pertinent. Psalm 106 and verse 39. Listen to this. Psalm 106:39. They were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Right? The smart people actually develop the AI. The dumbos think they're so smart and they can go in there and create their own little bot out of, you know, what some smart guy made. They go a-whoring after their own inventions. They created their own personalized chatbot, and now they go a-whoring after their own invention. Turned it into their little whore, their little slut, their little prostitute. Now, the Bible says that a man should leave his parents and cleave unto his wife, not to an AI chatbot. Genesis 2 and verse 24. It's amazing. The kind of stuff that we have to preach about these days is just amazing. I mean, when the whole gender identity lunacy came about, I actually had to go back and say, yeah, men and women are different. The Bible says that men and women are different, right? You literally have to tell people the most obvious things. Yep, you're supposed to leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. Find yourself a real woman. Find yourself a real man. And I don't even mean, like, in previous sermons, when I say a real man or a real woman, I mean like a good quality one. Now I'm just talking about a flesh and blood breathing human being. Find yourself like an actual human being to have a relationship with. Genesis 2 and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his ChatGPT. And shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now remember, I also said people are going to use it as their therapists. Well, guess what? People are using AI chatbots as their therapists. Here's a quote from the Human Line Project again. People are becoming obsessed with ChatGPT and spiraling into severe delusions, is the name of the article. Another troubling dynamic of the situation is that as real mental health care remains out of reach for huge swaths of the population, many are already employing ChatGPT as a therapist. In stories we heard about people using it in this way, it's sometimes giving disastrously bad advice. I mean, this thing will give you worse advice than an actual psychologist would. And that's pretty bad. In one case, a woman told us that her sister, who has been diagnosed with schizophrenia, but has kept the condition well managed with medication for years, started using ChatGPT heavily. Soon she declared that the bot had told her she wasn't actually schizophrenic and went off her prescription. And here's a parenthetical. According to Gerges, a bot telling a psychiatric patient to go off their meds poses the, quote, greatest danger, unquote, he can imagine for the tech. Now, let me read it without the parenthetical there. She soon declared that the bot had told her she wasn't actually schizophrenic and went off her prescription and started falling into strange behavior while telling family the bot was now her, quote, best friend. These people could be the creators of this thing. Could and hopefully will be liable to lawsuits and prison time. Can you imagine? You tell this chatbot tells somebody who's schizophrenic that she's not schizophrenic. She goes off her medication, then she goes and kills somebody, or who knows what, kills herself. Now, of course, we know who our counselors should be. God and His Word should be our counselors, not soulless AI chatbots. Psalm 16 and verse 7. Psalm 16 and verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. The Lord gives counsel, and he does so through his word, which I'll give you a verse in just a second. My reins, that is my inward parts, instruct me in the night seasons. How so? Because you've read the Bible and you know what God says, and then you can use the Bible to instruct and comfort yourself. Psalm 119 and verse 24. The Bible, the Scripture, the words of God are our counselors, or should be. Psalm 119 and verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight in my counselors. See, and Christian people can create these chat bots and then can tell this thing, hey, read the King James Bible, read only the King James Bible, and then give me counsel. This happens, I'm not kidding you. I know it's happened. I personally know that it's happened. And then considers this chatbot to be infallible because I've told it, just use the King James Bible and that's it. And that's all you can tell me, you know, and everything has to be in agreement with that. And then now you have your little infallible God that is using the words of God. You got the devil now quoting the scripture to you, making you think that it's this infallible source of truth. I'm telling you, it is. We are beyond the pale. We should get counsel from wise men, not from soulless machines. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Yes, we ought to get counsel from people, from wise people. Proverbs 20 and verse 5, that means you have to go looking for it. It's not easy to get counsel from people. You actually have to, number one, find somebody that has wisdom that can actually give you counsel. And then you have to go and have a face-to-face conversation with that person. It's not easy. That's why people would rather do it with ChatGPT. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. That's why I say it's difficult. It's hard. You first, if you're looking for water, you first have to find a well, right? You can't find mud puddles and, right, and things like cesspools and things like that. You actually got to find a well with clean water in it, right? So you got to look around, and you know that takes time to find a well. It takes time to find a wise person that you can actually get some information that you need out of. And then once you find that well, guess what? It takes effort. You got to lower that bucket down in the well, and you got to draw that thing back up, and it's heavy, right? Right? Well, when you find that wise person you can actually get some good counsel from, guess what? Then you've got to draw the information out of that person. Because if he's a wise person, he's not going to stand up and say, hey, I'm a wise person. I'm here to help. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. No, he's not going to tell you that at all. You're going to have to draw it out of him. But it's a lot easier just to pull out your phone and go to ChatGPT. Now, remember I said, the other thing I said it was going to do is dumb people down, even dumber than they are already? Well, children and college students are using AI to cheat their way through high school and college. I saw this video of this kid. I think he was graduating from UCLA. And during the graduation ceremony, he's holding up his, he's like freaking out. He's jumping up. He's so excited. He's holding up his laptop, pointing at it. ChatGPT. That's how he got through college. Cheated his way through college with ChatGPT. Or some other AI bot. They should have revoked his diploma immediately. This is an article from Inside Higher Ed called AI and Threats to Academic Integrity, What to Do. But the student data paints a different picture than the one presidents, provosts, deans, and other senior leaders did in a recent survey by the American Association of Colleges and Universities and Elon University. Some 59% said cheating has increased since generative AI tools have become widely available, with 21% noting a significant increase, and 54% do not think their institution's faculty are effective in recognizing generative AI-created content. Yeah, when they talk to the faculty, oh, no, nobody's cheating, right? And you talk to the kids, they're like, heck yeah, like two-thirds of us are, and they're the only ones that, they're just the ones that admit to it. AI cheating is a huge problem. And the thing is, it's not like it used to be. Back in the day, if you plagiarized right? They could run it through something and just check existing content, and they could find out, oh, you know, this matches perfectly with what's, you know, with this database of existing content. Now it's they're generating fresh content with AI. Now they have ways you can plug in something that's been written and it can detect if AI wrote it. But these kids have figured out ways around that too. I saw a video of this kid. He's like, here's how you do it. You tell it to write you a 500-word essay on this topic, and then you take the first paragraph, you reword it in your own words, and then say, now take the style of this first paragraph and rewrite the next four paragraphs in this style. They can't detect it. Oh, my kid would never do that. Right. Yeah, sure he wouldn't. No, never. Definitely not. You know what the Bible has to say about that? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not defraud. That's what you're doing when you cheat. You're stealing. You're stealing a diploma. You're stealing a grade. Here's what Jesus said about that. Mark 10 and verse 19. I think the only way, probably one of the only ways that they can should be able to do this is, number one, schools ought to ban cell phones. Anna Sue, when she ran for the school board, that's what she wanted to do. They ought to ban cell phones. No cell phones should be allowed in school, period. And then what teachers should do is forget about sending homework home and all that, because the kids are just going to cheat anyway. Forget about that. They do all their work in class, and then they get tested in class without a phone there. And if that doesn't work, do it like the old scholastics used to in the old university systems. And to get your diploma, you stood before a panel and they asked you questions and you answered. And they determined, do you understand the information or not? That's how it used to work, not these stupid multiple choice tests and true and false and all this crap. That's all modern nonsense. That's how you know if somebody's actually mastered something. Talk to them. What's actually in their brain? Explain this to me. That's the way that they could fix this problem. Of course, they're not going to. If you haven't figured it out, the whole purpose of public education is to dumb down the population. That's the whole purpose. It's not to educate. It's to indoctrinate. It's to make obedient little slaves. They've done a great job. Studies have shown that AI use decreases cognitive ability. So, I mean, these kids that cheat with it are just shooting themselves in the foot. But you know what? They're too dumb to realize that kids are stupid. Teenagers are dumb. Right? They're too dumb to realize that they are permanently harming themselves. And their parents are too dumb to realize they're permanently harming themselves. The parents are too stupid to not allow them to do it. Here's an article from Forbes. The Dark Side of AI, Tracking the Decline of Human Cognitive Skills. In a report titled, Generative AI Can Harm Learning, researchers at the University of Pennsylvania found that students who relied on AI for practice problems performed worse on tests compared to students who completed assignments without AI assistance. This suggests that the use of AI in academic settings is not just an issue of convenience, but may be contributing to a decline in critical thinking skills. Yeah. I mean, critical thinking skills have already been just about completely demolished since the 1930s when they redid the public education system. There's already very little critical thinking, period. Students learn what to think. They don't learn how to think. But now with AI, forget about it. Whatever remnant of critical thinking was left, it's gone. It's going to be. Here's an article from Public Health Policy Journal. MIT finds artificial intelligence use reprograms the brain, leading to cognitive decline. A new MIT study titled Your Brain on ChatGPT, Accumulation of Cognitive Debt When Using an AI Assistant for Essay Writing Task, so that's the name of the study, I believe, has found that using ChatGPT to help write essays leads to long-term cognitive harm, measurable through EEG brain scans. Students who repeatedly relied on ChatGPT showed weakened neural connectivity, impaired memory recall, and diminished sense of ownership over their own writing. While the AI-generated content often scored well, the brains behind it were shutting down. Here's another quote from that article. LLM users forget what they just wrote. That's the name of it. LLM is large learning model. Is that what it is? Large learning model? I think that's what it's... That doesn't sound right to me. Large language model. Thank you. I knew that didn't sound right. Large language model. That's how these AI... That's how AI works, is they feed huge amounts of information into this, like everything available on the internet. And this thing just consumes it. It reads through everything, and then it can start to learn to find patterns, and it can, when it's doing its own writing, it can predict the next word. And that's how it does it. It's seen so much writing, millions and billions probably of sentences, and eventually it can know when it starts to write, it can predict what the next word should be to make a correct sentence. That's how they say it works anyway. I mean, maybe the devil makes it work. I don't know, and I sound like a fool for saying that, but who knows how it actually works. That's how they say it works, though, anyway. In post-task interviews, 83.3% of LLM users were unable to quote even one sentence from the essay they had just written. So they write a sentence, and 83% of them can't quote one sentence of what they just wrote, because they didn't write it, because they told ChatGPT to write it, and it wrote it, right? Of course they can't quote it. They probably didn't even read their own sentence, let alone write it. In contrast, 88.9% of search and brain users, that is people that use search engines to find the information and then to write an essay, or people that actually use their brains to write the essay, 88.9% of search and brain-only users could quote accurately. 0% of LLM users could produce a correct quote, while most brain-only and search users could. Is that a surprise to anybody? The article continues. I think it's the same article. No, this is a different article. This is from Psychology Today. Is artificial intelligence slowing our brain functioning? A new MIT study put that question to the test when it examined the minds of 54 participants ages 18 to 39. Participants were split into three groups and asked to write a series of essays while hooked up to an EEG that measured brain activity across 32 regions. One group could use ChatGPT, another Google, and the last had the unenviable task of writing essays with no aid at all. After writing a series of essays, researchers found that the group that had access to ChatGPT had the lowest brain engagement of all groups. In fact, 83% of the participants who used ChatGPT to write couldn't remember anything they wrote just minutes later. Not only this, but researchers found that this group became lazier over time, and that after each subsequent essay, they recorded less and less neural activity. The researchers of this paper are now running a similar experiment with coders, that is people that write computer code, with coders, and early findings show that the results are even worse. With the help of AI, coders are more productive, but early results show that this has come at the cost of their creative and critical thinking skills. You see, the Bible teaches that we must study to show ourselves approved. If you are going to learn anything and develop your mind, you have to study. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. We're going to be in the zombie apocalypse very, very soon. We're going to have, I mean, literally brain dead people who cannot think, who cannot write, who cannot read, walking around among us. Unless people put a stop to this. You're going to have a very small percentage of the population that are the smart people that create all this stuff, and the rest of people are going to be completely illiterate morons. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is in a spiritual context. If you don't study, you'll be ashamed. You won't know the Bible. You won't know anything about it. Somebody brings up a Bible story, you're like, huh, I don't know that. Right? You're going to be ashamed if you don't study. I mean, this is written to a preacher, but remember, a preacher's your example, right? So you ought to be doing this. You ought to be studying. But you know what? If you don't study in school and in life, You know, your education starts when you're schooling, or when your schooling ends, right? Your education starts. But if you don't study and read and learn and apply yourself, you are going to be ashamed because you're going to be a dummy, an idiot. You're not going to know anything. Anytime anybody asks you a question, you're going to pull out ChatGPT and ask for the answer. You wait. I'll bet you people cheat their way through medical school with this. You go to a doctor, you're going to ask a question. Pull out ChatGPT. Let me see what it says, you know. Anywhere you go, any question you ask, let me check ChatGPT, I don't know. Now, studying is difficult. Anybody that's ever done it knows. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12. That's why students don't like to do it, or adults for that matter, because it's hard. Us human beings don't like to do things that are hard. We like to do things that are easy. Give us the choice between putting in the difficult work of reading and studying and remembering or typing it into ChatGPT. What are people going to choose? The question answers itself. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Yes, it is. Studying is wearying. Anybody that's ever done it, you remember from your days in school if you actually did any studying, and I can tell you, much study is a weariness of the flesh. It's like working a full day's hard labor physically. You're that tired, and sometimes even more so. But studying produces intelligence, right? If you're ever going to learn, if you're ever going to have knowledge, you have to study. If you're ever going to be able to think, you're going to have to study. You have to add a bunch of knowledge to your memory so that you can think and access those different bits of information that you have acquired over the years, and then put them together and then use them and reason from them to learn new things and to make decisions. You have to learn and study if you're going to be able to think. And the Bible puts a premium on getting wisdom. I think I just read this verse last Sunday. Proverbs 4, 5 through 7. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, the most important thing, the highest in rank and importance. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You ain't going to get that from ChatGPT. And then the last thing that I said that I warned about is that it's going to be impossible to determine if you're communicating with a person or a machine. And studies have shown that most people cannot perceive if they are conversing with AI or a human being. This is from an article from Inc.com. Is it a person or an AI chatbot? Tests say maybe we can't tell. Fresh research suggests chatbots are already at human levels of smarts in some respects, which should make everyone from politicians to megacorporations to one-person businesses sit up and take note. OpenAI's ChatGPT-4 model fooled people into thinking it was human more than half the time. And I read another place, and I couldn't find this, but I read another place where it was a lot more than that. It was upwards of like 70% of people. They couldn't tell. You chatted with two different things, one a machine and one a person, and they couldn't tell. And they 70% of the time they got it wrong. And this is causing major and will cause major problems, because with these deepfaked pictures, videos, and voice, and now using these things for scams, now you can get a call from your granddaughter. Sounds just like her. It's her voice, right? Sounds just like her. Grandpa, my car's broke down. I need to call a tow truck. I don't know, in my wallet. Can you give me your credit card number and I'll pay you back? What's my granddaughter? Of course I will. Sucker. But how would you know? I mean, I say sucker, but really, how would you know? It sounds just like her, right? Right? This is happening all the time. And this is just, it's making life so complicated. Dealing with banking is just so complicated now. They hold your money longer than they used to. Any transaction you want to do, you're getting a text. Was this you or not? Yes or no? You know, like constantly. It's just something. It's just a headache all the time because there are so many scams. It's only going to get worse. And then you know what they're going to do? They're going to move to this universal ID. You have to have this universal digital ID on a blockchain and to be able to prove who you are. And then, you know, they'll get us all into some big system, some Mark of the Beast kind of system is where this is probably heading to. And people will clamor for it because I'm getting screwed. People are draining my bank accounts. There's so much fraud. Somebody needs to step in. We need to stop all this. All right, so everything that I warned about almost 3 years ago concerning AI has come to pass. And sadly, those are only some of the harms done by AI. I have more in next week's sermon, Lord willing, and I have more, especially about the AI idolatry thing. I have a lot more to say about that and an example, a real-world example of it as well. So I thank you for your kind and patient attention this morning, and I pray that you will hear these things and take heed to them, because this is extremely dangerous and extremely important.